remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's Broadcast Day is underwritten by Krause and Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1957, Krause and Crane certified technicians have serviced all makes and models of air conditioners and provides an energy savings agreement for any commercial or residential need. Krause and Crane, the service and replacement specialist with over 50 years of experience, is available 24 hours for emergency service at 287-1227.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart.
We must stand in a place of faith. Exodus 12 and verse 11. I want to add a little something to what we're saying here. I want to bring it home to the present, okay? I want you to make the declaration with me. Is that all right? It's okay. We make declarations. Let it come out of your mouth. Say it with me. Say, it is here.
It is here.
It is now.
It is now.
It is me.
It is
here. Say it again. It is here.
It is here.
It's now.
It's
me.
It's here.
One time for the Holy Ghost. It's here.
It's here.
It's now.
It's now.
It's me.
It's me.
Okay. We're not letting anything push it away from us. It's here. See, this generates faith. This causes faith to come alive. We have to look beyond the natural to hear from another realm to see the ordinary as extraordinary. I'll say it again. We must look beyond. And you, as a child of God, you have sight beyond the physical eyes. Your mind, the spirit of your mind, can see. Okay, we must look beyond the natural to hear from another realm to see the ordinary as extraordinary. God had to get these slaves to start seeing something they'd not seen before. Whatever situation we are in, God wants us to begin to see things we have not seen before. The ordinary becoming extraordinary. Exodus 12 and verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. God told them to get ready to move before the move. The angel of death was about to pass through Egypt, and he said, before this happens, gird yourself, gird your loins, put your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, eat this lamb that I want you to roast in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, get ready to move. Now, like Israel, in order to bring them from the bondage of slavery, the spirit of faith had to be generated in them. Now, let me say it this way. I do care, but I don't care what you have to face tomorrow. You know, you may be facing something, you may not, but I want you, as we shift tonight, I want you to make sure whatever your day brings that you started with your faith being stirred up. In other words, you tomorrow, even though maybe it's just going to be another Thursday on the calendar, make it another kind of day. Make the ordinary extraordinary starting tomorrow, because you stepping out and I got my shoes on. Amen. I'm girded up. In other words, my faith is working today. Amen. God might want to do anything today. Who knows? But I don't care. If the sun just rises, it's a beautiful day. Praise God. But I'm moving in faith today. I'm believing God. In other words, it's here. It's me. It's now. All right. He had to establish that. Because see, routine and life itself can kind of just settle you into, you know, just same old. But here he said, put these things on, get ready, because I'm getting ready to move. But as we started this lesson, remember, there's something in the earth that happens first. Moses reminded him of Abraham's promise, and this was the time. And as they started to believe, see, had they not yielded to the command of Moses, it would have been different. But see, by this time, they are obeying. They are reverencing that slave mentality. They're dismantling that identity. They're ready to go and worship. Remember when they started out, when Moses first went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh put that hard labor on, they went back, the leaders of Israel went back to Pharaoh and said, listen, we are your servants. You know, why would you put this hard, you know, this hard duty upon us? In other words, they tried to negotiate with Pharaoh when Moses already started speaking their deliverance. See, sometimes there's a test to want to negotiate stuff because crisis has come. That's why you gotta stop looking at the natural and start seeing beyond the natural that, okay, God has orchestrated something here and he's about to bust a move in my behalf. It might not be real comfortable for a while, but that's why I'm going to generate my faith. Amen. I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to have my feet shod. I'm going to have my loins girt about. I'm ready to move. Hello? I'm not just going to sit there. You see, it had to be generated in them as a nation, as a people. After they had seen all the things that God did, even though Pharaoh was still adamant, hardened, people's faith had started to rise. They obeyed the command of the Lord through Moses. They started out saying, who are you? Who made you a judge over us? But after God dealt with them, they obeyed the command of the Lord through Moses and faith. So this is the second most important thing. We must stand in a place of faith. Say it again with me. It is here.
It is here.
It is now.
It is now.
It is me.
It is me.
Number three, get me Hebrews 11 and verse 24. God is raising authentic leadership. He raised authentic leadership. Even though Moses said he couldn't talk, God sent Aaron with him to be his spokesman. But he raised authentic leadership. Now, in Hebrews 11, 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, okay, leadership, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the first thing. He ceased, the leadership ceased to identify with the Egyptian system. He was brought up in Pharaoh's house, in the palace. He knew politics, he knew economics, he knew languages, he was well versed in all of this stuff, but he chose. Go back to that first verse. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. God needs people that will make the choices not to identify with the things of the world. Hello? Because they seem like the profitable way, the way that's going to work. You know, there are people that only like to go with, you know, the ones they think are going to win or the ones they think that will advantage them. But Moses chose. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Next verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Okay, God is raising authentic leadership. The first point, Moses chose rather to suffer. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The nationalism. You know, if we're truly going to break bondages, we have to go above, and I love this nation, above all other nations, I love this nation, but we have to rise up above nationality. American, no, I'm kingdom. I'm American, but I'm kingdom above that. Because America don't do everything right. As a matter of fact, this system in America is what's got us enslaved. Hello? It's a slave mentality here. It'll keep you in bondage. Amen. So we have to rise above that. Moses rose above being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. So he rose above nationalism. He had to rise above carnal power, the strength that he had to kill that Egyptian and bury him in the sand. How many know that's not the way God's going to bring deliverance? I love the story I ran across and hadn't read it on this wise, but when Peter and the guys were in Gethsemane with Jesus, and Judas bought the soldiers, and they were about to take him. And of course, Peter, they didn't pray, first of all. They'd fallen asleep because of sorrow, and so they were moving in the natural. And he took his little sword out and cut off the Malchus's ear. Malchus represents, his name is derived from a king. It means king. In other words, he's representative of government powers, governmental authority, Malchus. And so Peter cut off his ear. Jesus, in so many words, he told him, he said, I'm not here to cause a rebellion. I'm not here rebelling against the government. Did not I teach in your synagogues openly and freely? In other words, he established the fact that he was not against government. Now, I want to bring this home because there are a lot of causes that are good causes, but I don't think they're altogether God causes, because they're not really going to change. You're going to see down through the years, and you have seen down through the years already, they don't really change anything. It just diverts the attention of the church to fight against government authority. Don't shout me down. We're going to shift. But you see, God is behind. He's sovereignly behind the demise and the rise. So he told him, he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would fight. Now, I'm not saying don't support causes and vote for certain ones. Yeah, that's all good. But I'll tell you tonight, honestly, that ain't the answer. Do your duty, you know, give unto Caesar what belongs to him. You know, do your duty as a citizen. But we have to rise above that. We have to set our sight on something that's not natural, but supernatural, and turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. Because see, God is doing something secretly. And people are bent on trying to save a nation whose system is condemned to judgment. See, that'll make a whole lot of us heavy, because we don't quite understand. We're caught up in things, and we're wanting things to work. Because the system is earmarked for judgment doesn't mean you are earmarked for judgment. Come on, somebody. See, you got to understand, God did some stuff back then that was almost unbelievable. It was awesome to behold how God moved. And guess what? He's going to move like that in this day and time, too. While the plagues and the judgment was coming on Egypt, it got so dark, they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. But he said, while it was dark there, over in Goshen, they was partying hardy.
We are continuing in part two of our series entitled Transformation, Breaking the Bondage, Part 2. Ephesians 1, 20 through 22 declares, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Christ is the head of the body, and we are his body. We are seated in the heavenlies, far above all these principalities and powers. It's impossible for you as a firstborn to remain a slave. Embrace God's identity of you. It is one thing to be emancipated from slavery, but it's another thing to change from a slave's mentality. We have to be transformed, and that by the renewing of our mind. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.